This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law. eBay Motors is here for the ride. Remember when you first saw the potential? And then through some elbow grease, fresh installs, and a whole lot of love, you transformed 100,000 miles and a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. Look to your left. Look to your right. It's official. No one's got a ride like this. There's nothing else that sounds like, feels like, or looks like the set of wheels in your garage. With over 122 million parts, you can make sure your number one ride or die stays running smoothly, so there's no limit to how far you can take it. Brake kits, turbochargers, engines, exhaust kits, roof racks, LED headlights, bumpers, whatever your baby needs, eBay Motors has it. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back. Plus, at these prices, well, you're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Hello, everyone, and welcome into the Go 24/7 podcast. My name is Bryce Kuhn alongside Sonny Shipp. So, you know, it's a recruiting update. Sonny, this past weekend was just massive in terms of the names that were on campus. Really, and we talked about this, you know, maybe a week or two ago. This was an opportunity to really kick things off with that 2025 class. You know, they spent the majority of that kind of January, February period, you know, going after and making sure they had Dominic McKinley making it, trying to push for Terry Bussey. Now, with the focus fully on the 2025 class, man, we had that list over Go 24/7. How impressed were you with the guys that were able to get on campus and just overall the feeling? I know we wrote a lot about it, the feeling of the weekend coming out of it.
Well, the quality is what jumps out. You know, whenever you get the number one quarterback and the number one overall prospect in America on your campus, it's a good thing. You know, take that and times 10 when he's committed to you. And then you toss in the five-star receivers, commitment, you know, DeCorian Moore. You had Jamie French on campus. You had, you just had a lot of quality. You had some big offensive linemen that Brad Davis brought in, Tyler Miller being one out of Mississippi. Some big defensive linemen out of Texas, Zion Williams being one. You know, he's a guy that came in. And then the quality of the DBs. You know, there were a lot of DBs on campus. LSU was able to kind of take advantage of having all of those kids in New Orleans for the Battle 7-on-7 tournament over the weekend. So some of those Florida teams brought their kids up to campus. The bootleggers did as well. So when you have all of those things working together, you can get some good out of it. And, you know, all indications are that, you know, it was a successful weekend at LSU. Obviously, they came away with a commitment that we'll get into in a little bit. But, you know, overall, I think if you're an LSU fan, you have to look at that weekend. You got to say, okay, you got to give the thumbs up.
Yeah, look, like you mentioned, and we've talked about this, going into the weekend, we had a feeling, a strong feeling, knowing that, you know, Bryce Underwood was going to be there, DeCorian Moore, Harlem Berry. I mean, you talk about guys that can recruit the rest of the class. I mean, those are headliners. You know, that's the ones that you paid the big money to go see the concerts. And then you got, you know, the guys, the supporting acts, and the supporting acts LSU brought in are very, very talented and could be headliners at other places. It really has the fan base, I think, you know, excited. And Brian Kelly poised to really bring in a nice weekend. I know we talked with a number of recruits. And Sonny, the biggest thing that I took away was the opportunity to watch spring practice and see this new defensive coaching staff interact with players. We got the chance last Tuesday for the, you know, the only media viewing period. And I joked with Glenn when we kind of did our spring practice report. I said, this coaching staff's on the defensive side a little more lively, a little more talkative, a little more brash in how they're talking to their players too, a little more colorful in the words they're using. And a lot of the players pointed out, say, hey, they demand a lot. obviously Bo Davis was one of those guys. Kevin Peoples was one of the, you know, more vocal guys on the field. When you talk about just the opportunity for these kids to see spring practice, because look, they've been being visited in schools. They've had the text conversations, the phone calls, the FaceTimes. How big is that just to get a, you know, a wider grasp, a bigger scope on, hey, this is what LSU is trying to build? How big are those opportunities to kind of watch those interactions between coaches and players?
Well, these defensive coaches, you know, they're tasked with taking one of the worst defenses in LSU history. And in this day and age, you don't have years to turn things around. You need to turn it around in a year. And so it's not surprising to see these coaches animated, to see these coaches trying to get people's attention, cranking up the intensity, creating a sense of urgency, and just trying to get through to them and lay the foundation. And so it's not surprising at all to hear that. Now, I spoke with Keelan Moses at the 7-on-7 tournament on Sunday, and that's one of the things that he recognized and that he noticed is that, look, you know, these defensive coaches, they're bringing some intensity. You know, they're out there working, and this is not going to be a 2-year turnaround. You know, talking to Keelan, talking to some other defensive recruits, they really feel like that the coaching staff, with the pieces they have, that those are the pieces that they need to be able to turn things around. And so it's not surprising at all to hear that. You know, the Kevin Peoples angle, I think that's about what I expected from him. Because from what I hear, you know, he's an old school coach. He's a guy that, you know, he gets animated. He's animated. And then when you get off the field, just very, you know, just a great guy. So that dynamic on that side of the ball is going to be interesting to see how, when you take the spring, when you take the summer, you take fall camp, and then you start getting into the season, how they're able to take all of those pieces and just mold them together for what's going to be a big year.
Yeah, I like what you said too. You know, this is not a 2-year turnaround. Blake Baker and that staff have told multiple recruits, hey, we are brought here to make it better now, to improve now. And look, in the day and age of the transfer portal and talent accumulation, the pressure's on to do it within a year. There's no, well, let me get my guys in here. No, you have a chance to go get your guys there now. Obviously, Sonny, you know, Glenn and I touched on this. You know, one of the biggest questions entering the spring was that defensive line room. You know, not a ton of scholarship guys necessarily in the interior for them to, you know, be working with, but it did provide an opportunity for a number of different guys to get a glimpse, recruits on campus, of what their opportunity might be. Talk about some of those names, especially up front in that front seven. And is there a sense of urgency to create this big board up front? Because I think you hinted this on our board, and I wholeheartedly agree. There's a lot of names. It does feel like there needs to be some more evaluation to really figure out how this staff ranks some of these guys that they're obviously interested in.
Yeah, and once they get through the spring, I think they'll get a better idea then. You know, they'll get a better idea on, you know, some of the younger guys that they may have recruited them, they may have evaluated them from their previous stops. But now they'll really get a good idea of how they stack up to the other guys on the roster. And so then you can kind of start to, you know, then you can kind of start to evaluate, okay, well, this is how many, you know, this is how many hole pluggers I need. This is how many guys I need to be able to come off the edge. And so I think we'll get a better sense of that after the spring. But I think some guys have already emerged. You know, Zion Williams, the big defensive tackle out of Texas, he's a guy I think LSU is in a really good spot with. Came in over the weekend, kind of in that Jacobian Guillory mode, kind of in the mode of what the 2024 roster doesn't have a lot of right now. You know, doesn't have a lot of those hole pluggers, doesn't have a lot of guys who's going to eat up blocks on the defensive interior. But that's what Williams would be. You look inside Louisiana, you know, I don't think it's a banner year right now. I don't think it's a great year on the defensive line. I do think there are some guys. Corey Adams out of Carr is one, more of a defensive end type. But he's a guy that I think LSU, you know, ever since LSU offered that, you know, this was a guy that where they shot up to the top of his list. And so he's someone to watch this spring as well, as far as someone who could, you know, who could go ahead and jump on board. But after that, you know, you really start looking at the out-of-state guys. You really start looking at that out-of-state landscape. And I think those are the ones that take a little bit more time to make decisions on, simply because they're not an hour away from where you are. You know, you don't have all of the assets that you have in New Orleans, from people who know kids, from people who have seen kids, from people who have seen people. You know, I'm sure Frank Wilson could pick up the phone and call somebody up and say, someone that he trusts, and say, yo, man, do me a favor, run over the car and put Corey Adams on a scale and give me his measurements. Well, that's a little harder to do, you know, from a kid in South Texas at a school, to where the coach is like, look, man, do you know how much other things I got going on and how many other coaches I got in here? So it just takes a little bit, you know, I think it takes a little bit longer on that evaluation process for those out-of-state guys. But, you know, from talking to several of these guys, you had mentioned Andrew Maddox as a guy out of Mississippi who wasn't able to make it in, but who is someone that they like. You know, when I look at the defensive line board, though, the one that gets me excited right now is probably linebacker and DB the most. Unfortunately, that's not the biggest priorities, I think, in this 2025 class. But I think Bo Davis will go. He will find his guys. I don't think you're going to see a situation to where – you know, LSU won't be in the same situation they're in right now a year from now. I feel pretty good about that. You also have the spring transfer portal window coming up in a little bit over a month. They'll have some opportunities right there. But I think when you look at that linebacker and the deep in the secondary, you really get excited about what could happen in this 2025 class.
Yeah, and Sonny, I've talked with several people, you know, just around the sport that are affiliated with, you know, player personnel departments. They have a strong inclination that this spring portal window could be crazy, just from what we see. And maybe it's going to be crazy for LSU, but just in terms of, you know, just different rules and all these type of things. And I'll tell you this, just my personal belief with the NCAA just kind of becoming weaker and weaker and not having much control, I kind of firmly believe they're going to be able to overrule or overturn this SEC to SEC transfer rule. Because of, you know, some of the NCAA ruling, like, that's going to be challenged. There's going to be some kid that tries to challenge that, and it's going to create some entirely different litigation, which is just.
You think it'll happen for this cycle?
I don't know if it's going to happen for this cycle.
Yeah.
Just talking with some people that in future cycles, I think some kids this year won't be able to benefit, but when we get 2025 spring, you're going to see, we're just playing hypothetical.
I agree completely. You know,
a cornerback from Florida is now transferred to LSU, you know, and in May. So it's going to be crazy. I think it is going to be crazy. Wanted to get your thoughts. Obviously you talked out of state kids, obviously one of the bigger ones that was, you know, on the visit weekend, 4-star 24/7 composite, 3-star per the, just the 24/7 ranking, Charles Ross. He slated it as a linebacker, great speed, sideline to sideline speed. That's kind of his, you know, scouting report, a guy that can play at multiple levels. And Sonny, it's kind of led you to believe, and tell some of our subscribers, maybe he has a future at the safety position. Talk about this commitment, what Ross brings to the table for this LSU team and really for this 2025 class.
Well, you know, I think the first thing is speed, speed, and more speed. You know, listed, I've seen him listed 6'1", 190, seen him listed 6'2", 200. Split that in half, you know, you're looking at probably 6'1" and a half, 195.
Yeah.
Which isn't bad for a linebacker. You know, the problem with him is that he, what was it, a 10-4, 900?
10-4,
I think was
yes.
his personal best. Okay.
Yes.
When you have a guy that involved in track, he's not going to put on much weight as long as he's running track.
Yeah.
So depending on whether or not he's going to be an early enrollee, you know, which remains to be seen, you know, you don't know how big he'll really be able to get until he takes that track aspect out of his training. Mm-hmm. He could be someone who blows up to 220, 225 really easily when he's not running and training as much. But if not, then, you know, I think he's someone who could definitely slide in at that safety spot. You know, you hear some Harold Perkins Jr. comparisons when, you know, they talk about the speed, they talk about the athleticism. You know, I kind of look at Harold Perkins and, you know, for me, he's such a freak at that position. That's kind of like, you know, the Tyrann Mathieu comparisons.
Yeah.
You know, when Andre DeBose was at Florida, every slot receiver wanted to be the next Andre DeBose, you know, for a couple of years. And so – a little bit hesitant to go there with Ross as far as the Perkins comp goes, but you know, there's no denying that speed. And you know, here the one interesting fact is that when you go back and you look at his profile, there's not an offer from Missouri listed on there. And so, and so that what that tells you is that you know, Blake Baker might have looked at him while it was at Missouri, but what that tells me is the crux of his evaluation, the crux of them, you know, making a decision of, look, this is a guy we want. This is a guy that we're going to take. Let's push for him now because they think he's going to blow up later on. And so, you know, that gives you a sense of I think where Blake Baker, you know, how much he likes this guy right here. Cause I think it was February 6th when they offered him. And here 5 weeks later, you know, you've got him on board. So, and you spoke with him. He had an interesting little story to backstory to how he committed.
Yeah. Yeah. Just obviously for the folks that weren't able to read the article, you know, yeah, check it out over Go247. It's not behind a paywall, completely free. You know, he went on the visit and he's got family in Louisiana, he was telling me. So he kind of, you know, grew up and I knew what LSU was. And he even mentioned when I talked to him on the phone after the commitment, just, you know, guys like Tyrann Mathieu, you know, just, you know, guys that he grew up watching that are just great defenders playing at LSU. They left the facility for the visit and he was talking about this family and everything. He said they got like 5-10 minutes down the road. Like they didn't even get to the interstate. I decided to turn back around and come back and commit to the staff. And he said the staff was ecstatic. They were really, you know, excited. And one thing he mentioned too, Sonny, was when they turned on the film, obviously, yes, there's a lot of Harold Perkins. Anytime you see a kid with that size, that's the first thing that's going to come out, you know, with these linebacker safety hybrids, kind of these guys that maybe are positionless. And that's not necessarily a bad quality all the time, just positionless defensive guys that you got to find a way to get on the field. And he even mentioned that, you know, when they put on his film and were able to look at it and he looked at it with Blake Baker, it was exciting. And this is something else we've kind of mentioned as a guy who can play in this attacking scheme that Baker wants to utilize. Sounds like, and I don't know what you've gathered from it, and we can kind of take this conversation here, but as Baker sits down with these recruits, one of the biggest feedbacks that I get talking to these kids is like, hey, they're going to get some pressure. And that perks up the ears of a lot of these guys. It's like, hey, they want the sack numbers. They want the TFLs. They want those stats. And LSU under Blake Baker could become a place where, hey, we're recruiting to be attacking, aggressive style of football on the defensive end. You know, that could have its drawbacks if you don't have a great secondary. But I kind of feel like for these guys in the front seven and even a guy like Ross, who's kind of that hybrid safety linebacker type, you're going to see more guys like that become more interested and show some interest in LSU.
Introducing the two-way V4, where groundbreaking fuel cell technology meets fresh foam cushioning for the ultimate performance. With fuel cell, each step feels explosive, delivering unparalleled energy return. Paired with fresh foam, experience maximum comfort throughout the game. Its lightweight textile upper offers support and breathability without sacrificing agility. Whether you're hitting the clutch shot or locking down the opposition, the two-way V4 gives you the tools to play at a high level. Learn more and purchase the two-way for yourself at newbalance.com.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
Yeah, I think so. You know, I absolutely think so. You look at some of the DBs that, you know, look at some of the DBs who came in with Ross out of Florida. Chris Ewald was one. Who was the kid who just reclassified from 2025 to 2026? I'm going to butcher his name.
Shamar Akande. Yeah.
He was another one who came in. And then you just go and, you know, and there were others who came in as well. Kyle Johnson out of Bunky, a guy that Corey Raymond, that he likes, kind of trying to figure out where he fits in with this 2025 class. So I think they had a nice assortment of guys that fit that mold of what you're saying. Because if you're going to attack in the front seven, if you're going to bring the pressure, if you're going to push right here, if you're going to push towards the front load, you got to have the back load. And when you looked at LSU last year, probably one of the biggest complaints is, why are LSU's DBs constantly playing 10 yards off the line? You know, well, that's because you wasn't getting a pass rush and they had to play so far back. You know, so I think that'll be music to LSU fans' ears to see an attacking defense like that. And let's look. And I mean, let's face it. Harold Perkins Jr. is as good of an attacker as there is. Deshaun Womack just needs to get on the field. Once Deshaun Womack gets on the field consistently, there's not going to be getting him off the field unless you're up by 40 and you want to bring your third team D line in. You know, I think they have the horses, you know, but you've got to get a defensive tackle. You've got to find a defensive tackle on this 2024 defense that can give you something inside. That's not just going to eat up two blockers, but that can also create some TFLs, that can get after the quarterback. Because if you have that inside guy that's requiring a double team, well, you can't double everybody on the defensive front. True. And when you have that speed, that freakish athleticism coming off the edge that can bend and that can just cause a lot of problems for quarterbacks, you know, that to me is what sets up to the ability to be able to attack from the outside, is that you've got to have somebody who can also attack from the inside. You know, you go back, you think of Glenn Dorsey's, you think of Chad Lavallee, you think of some of the older defensive tackles that LSU had on some of these defenses that really just jump out at you when you look at the stat sheet and when you go back and you look at some of the successful defenses in the past. You know, you got to have that guy. Mekhi Wingo showed some of that in 2022. Not as much in 2023. Obviously, the injuries kind of hurt. You were kind of hoping that you would get that out of Mason Smith, but, you know, he was never really able to kind of put it all together from an injury and physical standpoint. But, you know, for me, that's going to be a key into how much you can attack with this defense, because you're still going to have a few issues on the back end.
Yeah.
I don't think LSU has shored up the secondary enough to where there's not going to still be some questions back there. Although I do think J.K. Johnson is going to help tremendously, you know.
Yeah.
But, you know, where's that DT going to come from? You know, where's that DT going to come from? And then furthermore, where's that DT going to come from in this 2025 class?
Yeah. No, that's interesting. And I wanted to ask you this because it's something I've been wondering just kind of internally. I talked with Glenn about this. You know, you mentioned up front, okay, yeah, you know Bo Davis is going to have his work cut out for him. The hope is that Bo Davis can stack like Brad Davis has on the offensive line side. But with this defensive line group, and we kind of go back to the portal and some of the player personnel and the management of this roster, obviously you have Jacobian Guillory. You've got a guy in, Sean Washington that you've brought in to me, Sonny, you're going to learn very quickly if you're that staff whether Sean Washington's ready. Now, we know originally he was viewed as a guy that could come in and play the SEC. Went to Georgia, signed with Georgia, but he went back down to the JUCO ranks. A lot of times, these guys and these kids, they can take advantage of their God-given talents and their athleticism to excel at that level. I think there's going to be a lot of things that you're going to, you know, potentially have the ability to correct. But I ask you this, what's the panic meter or the worry meter if Sean Washington, you know, this spring is like, okay, he may be a rotational piece for us? Because it kind of feels like they need to have a guy there. And it's going to be hard to find a guy between now and when they go to Vegas. But as that big board starts to get kind of chalked out for, you know, their transfer portal wish list, to me, DT's already got to be, you know, the number one priority to begin with. But how desperate do you think LSU gets if this spring they kind of sit back and say, maybe what we thought we had is not what we actually have?
Well, I don't know if they can get more desperate, you know. I think they need a dude, and by dude, I mean somebody who can come in, who's a plug and play, and then I think they need a guy, you know. And I think when you go back and if you look at it, Jordan Jefferson, when he came in, I don't think anybody really circled Jordan Jefferson and said, okay, this dude is going to – he's going to be a dude. You know, he may end up being our best defensive lineman. Unless you've watched a lot of West Virginia football, you know, chances are you didn't come away feeling like that. But that's what they need to find, is they need to find that plug and play guy that they can, you know, you look at some of the guys who came out in the first transfer portal window. You know, Texas A&M lost several of their defensive tackles who were dudes. True. And, you know, like Walter Nolan ends up at Ole Miss. LSU needs someone, not saying they need the number one player out of the transfer portal, but LSU needs someone who has starting experience and who's ready to slide in and be a starter. If they have to get that route, if they need, you know, if Sean Washington doesn't step up, if Savion Jones continues to want to stay on, you know, stay at defensive end, doesn't, you know, cave in and move inside to the interior. So, you know, you find that guy and you get that dude, and then you get that guy who comes in who can give you some second team reps. You know, Jalen Lee, you know, I think it's going to be hard to get more than, you know, more than 8 to 10 reps, 8 to 10 good reps out of him, you know, in the SEC. And so when you start looking at the snaps, you know, Jacobian Guillory is the guy that everyone has circled. Is like, look, this is the leader of the defensive interior right now.
Yeah.
But he's a guy who's used to playing 25 to 30 snaps a game. And that may be on the high end, you know. So you can't really just all go in there and say, okay, now we can double his workload to where we can get 50 to 60 snaps a game and still get the same contributions. He may give you that, but I don't think you're going to find that out until September and October rolls around. Well, when September and October rolls around, you got to have some, you know, you got to have some assurance. And so that's the one position that, you know, and look, LSU's roster, you had mentioned that, you know, how crazy it could be. It's going to have to be crazy because LSU is still, you know, LSU is still a couple over the 85 man limit before you go out and before you add anyone. So if you want to bring in three transfers, you got to lose five.
Yeah.
You know, and so it's going to be an active time if you're LSU. You know, how active, I think, remains to be seen. But, you know, that defensive tackle situation, granted, we're only three spring practices in. They haven't even gone full pads yet, haven't had the first scrimmage. But, you know, I haven't talked to one person, and I'm pretty sure you haven't either, who, you know, feels a lot better about the defensive interior now than they did before spring practice started.
Yeah, no, I agree. When we were at spring practice the other day, they had Ahmad Bro, the kid from Ruston, you know, good player in high school. They had to come kind of slated in the interior a little bit. And that could be a guy to watch. That's a guy that I'll keep an eye on throughout the spring is like, okay, could he take a step up? I'll just say this, Sonny, when you listed off the names, we only listed off three or four names. You're talking about, you know, Sean Washington. You're talking about, you know, Jacobian Guillory, Jalen Lee, and if Ahmad Bro's the fourth guy, I still don't feel comfortable if I'm a staffer at LSU with those four names, because in the SEC, if you're relying on all of these certain factors to take a massive step up, like you mentioned, 30, 40, 50 more snaps, A guy in Ahmad Bro to just look. We've all talked to the kid. We absolutely, you know, love the kid and have loved covering his recruitment and his high school career. That's a lot to ask. You know, that's why it's so rare for freshmen to come in and do that. But I don't know. Ahmad Bro's a guy I'm keeping my eye on because if he develops the way they want him to, maybe he's an answer to some of those defensive line interior issues.
Well, and one thing that you also have is that you've got some big defensive ends. Savion Jones, not to beat a dead horse, but I mean, he almost looked like a defensive tackle playing defensive end in 2023. Parrish Shan, you know, right there around that 280-pound mark. I think they got him listed at 275, if I'm not mistaken. So he's another guy, another big defensive end. You know, Blake Baker in that attacking scheme that he wants to be able to run, when you have big defensive ends like that, you can kind of push them inside a little bit in certain packages, in certain schemes, because of what you're going to ask those guys to do. You know, obviously third down passing situations are some of those. But having those, I hate to say versatile, but having those big bodied ends like that, they can be of benefit. You know, they can be of some benefit. So I think that that's going to be one of the pieces. For me, Matt House got lazy last year. Matt House got lazy in his planning, got lazy in his attacking, thought that he had Harold Perkins back there and said, well, Perkins is going to create the mismatches on his own. I kind of feel like that was part of, part of the early thinking.
Yeah.
And you can't do that. If you're the defensive coordinator, you've got to put these guys, you've got to be creative with these guys, and you've got to be the one thinking about where you're going to put them and create those mismatches for them to where all they have to do is go out and play. And so I do like the fact that you have some big defensive ends that give you a little bit of versatility to be able to do that. And I'm anxious to see how Baker, Kevin Peoples, Bo Davis, how they're able to kind of brainstorm and bring everything together to where they can do that. Look, Matt House definitely had challenges. You had the defensive line coach issue that you had to deal with. And so that makes it I'm sure that just added more stress, more workload to his shoulders than he was already taking. But when you're the defensive coordinator, it's your responsibility to find those situations that put your players in the best position to succeed. And if you're just relying on those athletic players to do that, I think you're being lazy.
Well, and you get exposed like LSU did last year defensively.
And you get fired.
You don't have a job. that's pretty well said. Couldn't have said it better myself. Last topic here, and we don't spend a ton of time on it. I know you've already mentioned here on the podcast, you headed down to New Orleans for the Battle 7v7. A lot of great athletes down there. There was some, you know, top tier talent. Any guys that you're just wanting, you or fans should just keep their eyes on, maybe within the state of Louisiana, or just some guys that you said, hey, we need to, you know, he needs a profile, or we need to keep an eye on this kid going forward.
Yeah, there were some, but I tell you, probably one of the biggest takeaways that I took from there is that, well, two of them. Keelan Moses hates being rated as an athlete.
He's made it pretty public on social media.
However,
as well.
However, he looked like a very impressive athlete. You know, he played safety, played some linebacker, played more safety than anything. And you're looking at a 220-pound guy back there, you know, playing safety. And when you watch him run, when you see him move at that size, knowing the traits that he has with his brother, brother Dylan playing at Alabama. Yeah. His brother Dylan, his dad, Ed Moses, would put them through some pretty intense workouts when Dylan was in seventh grade, you know, when he got the LSU offer. And so over the years, Keelan has kind of grown up under that wing too. So he's been exposed to a lot of the stuff in football that helped develop your IQ. You know, watched a lot of film, a lot of analysis, had a lot of people picking his game apart, telling him what he needs to improve on and stuff. And so I left there, never really considered him an athlete to begin with, but I left there feeling pretty good about what he can do at the linebacker position. And I think he's going to, I think he's going to be really good. And aside from that, you know, just the job that he does on the recruiting trail, we talked about what he does as far as recruiting and stuff goes, his approach and things like that. you know, the emphasis on the defensive side of the ball and stuff. So I think he's going to be really, really exciting to watch. Another kid, Zay Martin. He's a younger guy. Yes. He's a guy who hasn't really gotten a lot of attention yet, but I think he's someone who you're going to see kind of creep up. Just catches a lot of balls, finds a lot of ways to get open. He may not wow you with combine numbers or anything like that, but if you go back to the tape, you just see a guy who makes plays. And so I think he's someone that you'll start to hear a little bit more about as we go through this process.
Two things on Zay Martin. One, got the chance to see him in person at a U-High game last November. And you're exactly right. Like, I don't think there's necessarily, and this is not a slight eye-popping about his game. It's just consistent. And what he does, you know, and everything he does, his route running, his ability to catch the ball, it's just consistent. He puts up numbers, and that's things you can't argue with. I also tell you, I talked with a coach that offered him at a different school and said, what do you like about this kid? Because he asked me, he said, what's LSU's deal with this? And obviously we know LSU has been after some big fish in the wide receiver market. That big board's just crazy. And I said, what do you like about him? And he said the same thing. He said, you turn his film on, and it's a guy that just, like, really understands his craft and has a desire to continue to keep being polished. And the stats don't lie. Like, at any level, the stats just don't lie with what he's doing. So I like that you pointed out Zay Martin. That's going to be a kid that, once again, teammate of Keelan Moses, right there literally in LSU's backyard, that you know they have eyes on what's happening over there at U-High. So Zay Martin.
One more name, Jacob Bradford, the 2025 cornerback out of Catholic High Baton Rouge. The older brother of Blaine Bradford, the five-star safety for the 2026 class. He's someone that LSU's continuing to evaluate, continuing to look at. He says, I don't know what they're waiting on, but there's a few schools kind of waiting to see, you know, how he progresses. I think they're probably, as interested in getting a 40 time on him as much as anything else. But he's someone, he's got Vanderbilt offer. I want to say Memphis, maybe Houston. But he's another Lane's guy another when you start one. Looking at the 2025 class. I think he's someone that by the time you start hitting this summer and the summer camp scene starts popping, that he's someone that you're going to start to hear a lot more about.
Yeah. No, and there's
he's got really good size, too.
Yeah, we've got him listed at 6'1", 185. I mean,
he's every bit of that.
When you look and see at what Corey Raymond has offered, that's kind of the profile. That fits that profile of what he likes. But, no, that's good stuff. Good stuff. Well, this is Recruiting Pod. We talked player personnel. We talked a little bit of roster management. LSU has a lot to do, obviously, with that. And if you want some of the latest news, head over to Go247. Get yourself a subscription. We're talking spring ball. We got baseball season in full effect. Women's basketball about to get ready for the tournament. Men's basketball trying to fight for a spot in the NIT. So, Sonny, it's a busy time. And I do want to give a shout out. Massive win for the LSU softball team yesterday. Packed out crowd. Took down number one Texas and 23-0 for the Tigers. So that's a lot of fun sports happening in Baton Rouge on campus right now. So make sure you follow along everything we have going on. If you're watching on YouTube, hit that subscribe button. If you're listening after the fact, whether it's on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, anywhere you get those, give us a follow, like, subscription there as well. He's Sonny Shipp. My name is Bryce Kuhn. We'll catch you next time here on the Go247 podcast.
MTV's official Challenge podcast is back for another season.
And so are we.
I'm Tori Deal.
And I'm Anissa Ferreira.
The wait is over, guys. All Stars 4 is finally here.
And this season takes it to a whole new level. Old school legends, modern power players, and ex-lovers are all competing in Cape Town, South Africa for the prize of $300,000.
And we're going to be right here along with you fans covering every episode on the podcast.
Listen to MTV's official Challenge podcast wherever you get your podcasts.